So we're going to be starting a new series that'll go on until Lent. And this one is called Six Stone Jars. And of course, that's from the story of the wedding in Cana. And that wedding, that story is about what? Jesus turning water into wine. This is Jesus' first public miracle that we know of. The story found in the second chapter of John is one we've read and heard probably many times, might have overlooked as many times as well. But let's look at it more closely today. For Jesus' first public miracle is about people who had run out only to find that Jesus supplies their needs better than they could ever have imagined. The story found in John's gospel is near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Cana was a small town, probably a population of around 300, not far from Nazareth, which is Jesus' hometown. Jesus, his mother Mary, and his disciples are attending the wedding, which implies that this is probably a close family friend or relative who is getting married. And in the New Testament times, marriage celebrations lasted 7 days. They partied, yes. And the host was responsible to provide food and drink for the occasion. Think about that, yes. However, what happens in the story? The wine ran out before the wedding celebration was over. Now, this may sound like no big deal since there's always some detail, right, that goes wrong in a wedding. And we might instead take it as a sign that, hey, maybe it's time to wrap all this up.
Right?
Yeah. But it was a different culture back then. And unfortunately, to run out of wine was considered a sign of disrespect, of not trusting that you'd be taken care of. You could be ostracized from the community. And I was reading somewhere that you might even could be sued. Think about that. So imagine starting a marriage embarrassed, broke, possibly even facing a lawsuit.
And broke.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that's not a good way to start any relationship at all, especially a marriage relationship. So Jesus' mother Mary learns of the shortage of wine before word reaches Jesus. And she becomes worried. The person was in need, and it bothered her greatly. And I want you to notice two examples of faith that Mary gives us here. First, she instinctively turns to Jesus when something is wrong. She knew him from the day she first felt his presence in her womb. She raised him. She knew the words of God spoken through the angel Gabriel. We also notice that the writer, John, did not say that this was Jesus' first miracle. Look what he says in verse 11. He said, Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana, in Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Changing water into wine was the first of Jesus' signs. So, who knows? Maybe Mary witnessed him doing some other amazing things before. Where do we turn in times of trouble? Mary turned to Jesus. And I think that's something good that we should know and do as well. And the second thing is that even when Mary didn't understand what Jesus was going to do, even when it seemed that he had refused her request, Mary still believed in him, so much that she turned to the servants and told them to do whatever Jesus told them to do. Verse 3. When the wine came out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." Kind of fascinating that he called her woman.
Yeah.
Think about that. Not mom, not mother, right?
Woman.
Wow, I know. And if you think about it, most moms would not have let that slip by without what? Saying something, harsh words or an action. True? Yes. But Mary ignores it and pushes him into action. And if you notice, she bypasses Jesus while he's standing right there, and she goes straight to the servants and tells them in verse 5, do whatever he tells you. Mary had the faith to trust in Jesus when it didn't make sense, when she didn't understand what he'd do or how he'd do it. In every life, there comes a time when all we can do is what God tells us to do. And we do it by faith, without knowing what will happen. Mary pushes Jesus into his first public miracle, his first sign. And I can just imagine Jesus, like rolling his eyes, right? Okay. Such a human moment that reminds us that Jesus identifies fully with us right down to a pushy mom. Think about that. And like Jesus, there are going to be things that God wants us to do for which we don't feel inclined to get involved or prepared to make a difference. From time to time, we may need a little push to get us going in the direction we need to go, in the direction God is leading us to. Next, we are told that there are 6 stone jars set out for the Jewish custom of purification. So before entering, the wedding guests ritually wash themselves, signifying a cleansing for God. Each of these jars can hold 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus told the servants in verse 7, he said, fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. Think about that. That's a lot. That's a lot of water. So if these water jars contain 20 to 30 gallons each, we're talking anywhere from what? 120 to 180 gallons of water. And that is a lot of water, especially when you think, where would they have to have gotten the water? From a well, right? A well that was probably nearby, going back and forth, drawing water and filling the jars until all 6 of them are filled to the brim. But they did what he told them to do. And then Jesus tells them in verse 8, now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet. At each wedding celebration, there would be a head waiter or master of the banquet. And this was a position of honor. And one of their primary duties would be to regulate the distribution of wine to prevent excess that would ruin the party. This person would also control the level of dilution for the wine. Thus, some people may partly blame the head waiter for the host running out of wine prematurely. The usual order of things was that the freshest and least diluted wine would be served first. And after the good stuff ran out, they bring out the poor quality wine, right? So they would continue, but hopefully people wouldn't know that much of a difference by then. So the head waiter is shocked that the freshest wine was being served so late in the wedding celebration. The detail of the wine is important to the story, not because of the alcohol content, but because it is a symbol of blessings. The God who provides the abundance of the world, the abundance of the grapes that produces the wine, is looking out over us. Wine glasses were raised, just like we still do today, of blessing at a wedding, a new marriage. Dozens of times in the Old Testament, the prophets use the metaphor of a wedding to describe the relationship between God and the people. To say that they had run out of wine was a symbol that they believed their relationship with God had run out of benediction, had run out of blessing. People felt that God had given up on them. The wine had gone dry. It is in that feeling of despair that Jesus provides not just wine, but a blessing. God is still acting and active and involved in our lives. Turning water into wine was not a parlor trick displaying Jesus' miraculous ability. It was an object lesson telling people that God isn't done with them. There are still blessings in store. It was the best wine saved for last. Whatever season you are in right now, it can be better than the other seasons because you have a better perspective. Enough cycles around the sun that it's not all about you. You have an appreciation for what others are going through. God isn't done with them or you. He has more blessings in store for us all. Have you ever felt like you've run out of wine? Maybe it's in a relationship that's important to you where you feel stuck and helpless. Maybe it's in your dreams where you feel like you're just going through the motions. Maybe you're feeling like the one who is poor or embarrassed. But let me remind you that you have a God of abundance. You have a God of abundance, a God overflowing with blessings that he wants to impart and pour down on us. So what we need to do is we need to do what Mary did. And that's this. She turned to Jesus when something is wrong, and she had faith to trust in Jesus even when it didn't make sense. And what happened? Jesus blessed. We have a God of abundance. A God who cares about us, who wants to bless us. It's natural to wonder if God is stingy with blessings. Because sometimes we get into this deficit thinking that we only get a little from God and God might take that little that we have away if we mess up. Maybe we think that we can't go to God now because we've used up all the grace God is going to give us. Or maybe we don't want to ask God for a blessing now because we might need it later. Mm-hmm. So I'll just wait and cash in my chips with the Almighty when I'm really in trouble. And sometimes we don't ask God for what is on our hearts because we think it's so trivial. It's not a major crisis. But you know what? I think that's why the story of the water into wine is so great. Because it wasn't a major crisis happening, although it might have been major for the bride and groom. But this story reminds us that God cares about all of our lives. If it matters to you, it matters to God. The water into wine sign is a sign of how God acts. God is a God of abundance and will give you what you need, big, small. The divine is not stingy with like eyedropper droplets of blessing, right? Like boop, boop. No, he has jarfuls. Think about that. His blessings are poured out by the jarful. This first public sign or miracle or sign of Jesus is just a foretaste of everything that follows. Jesus is the one who gives us blessings and has an abundance of love and grace for us to get us through whatever comes our way, no matter what. Jesus turns water into wine. He can turn our weeping into laughter, our sorrow into joy, our fears and failures into a witness of transforming power, our swords into pruning hooks, our cries of anguish into shouts of praise. That is our abundant God. And that is what his abundance in our lives can do for us. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have have life and have it abundantly. This is Jesus talking. Jesus came that we may have life and have it what? Abundantly. Jesus gives us more than enough. He is the God of abundance. Let us in faith trust that God is there with us always, that we can turn to him and trust him with whatever we need, no matter how big or small it is. For he will supply our needs and bless us abundantly. So let us live in God's abundant blessings. For if you think about it, the best is yet to come.